our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
In Connecticut, personnel data, including Social Security numbers, that's personal data, of personnel, of more than 1,700 state workers were accidentally posted on the Internet. Authorities are recommending those exposed to the identity theft monitor their personal financial records. A group of respected astronomers this week is calling on the UN to develop a program to deal with asteroid threats to Earth. Scientists say a worldwide system should be developed. Now you've got more reasons to enjoy that cup of hot cocoa. Scientists are saying it improves both heart and brain function. Using DNA tests on common North American birds, researchers have discovered 15 new species. Birds already thought to be simple owls, ravens, and others. It turns out that there are more than the ones that they are already thought. The Japanese whaling ship stranded in Antarctic waters since last week continues to refuse help from the U.S. Coast Guard and Greenpeace, even though there are fears the vessel will begin leaking oil into the pristine waters. New Zealand's prime minister is registering concerns for an environmental disaster. Japanese authorities are ignoring them. Budget airline JetBlue continued to cancel flights today, still technically bedeviled by the snowstorm disruptions of last week. Regular flight schedules are expected to be restored by tomorrow. Due to the President's Day holiday, the markets are closed today. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. And happy Lincoln's birthday and Washington's birthday, everyone. Yes, I know the retailers call today President's Day, but they're wrong. This day was never President's Day. Indeed, until the 1960s, we had two separate recognitions of, I think, what everyone considers, me too, the two best presidents in American history, George Washington, whose birthday is this Thursday, February 22nd, and Abraham Lincoln, whose birthday was 1 week ago today, February 12th. Well, for a while we celebrated two holidays. Not too many people got off work, but at least there were separate remembrances of our nation's greatest presidents. And then, of course, the retailers, well, they wanted a three-day weekend and to make it always on the Monday in between the birthdays. So that's where we come up with President's Day weekend sales and more people off work. But at least for a moment, think about President Washington and President Lincoln. We never talk about them, even though today is the day dedicated to both of them. And I think it's worthy to remember who these great men were, why they were great. They had flaws. They weren't gods. But why they were great and how much they put, well, the other 41 or so to shame. As I said, today is not President's Day. We do not celebrate President Bush today. We don't celebrate President Clinton today. We don't celebrate President Roosevelt or Jefferson or others today. That's not what today is, folks. It never was. George Washington, the first president of the United States, is remembered because, heck, he started the whole thing. But people think, in retrospect, that that was an easy, obvious thing to do. And, of course, it wasn't. Totally apart from the Revolution, which he, of course, played a major role in, and we can discuss that, but today we're talking about his role as president. The main thing to remember is after he completed his job as the Continental General, as the commander-in-chief of all the forces in the Continental Army, after we defeated the British at Yorktown, the British left singing the world playing upside down, is actually the music they played. George Washington, just a few weeks later, came before the Continental Congress. There were talks that he should be the king of America. After all, America needed its own leadership. They should make him king. They should make him ruler. He did an amazing thing. Just a few weeks after his tremendous victory, he came to the Continental Congress in Annapolis, Maryland, and turned in his sword, resigned his commission, made it clear that the civilians control the military, that we would not be a government run by kings in Great Britain, nor would it be the government that would later become up in France, just really a couple decades later, under Napoleon, under an emperor, under a military ruler. Nope. George Washington said, with tears in his eyes, he resigned his commission, went back to Mount Vernon, Virginia, to be the gentleman farmer. In some ways, that was a more important event than his entire presidency. Because when he came back to office as the elected president of the United States, the first president of the United States, he had set a clear example that in the United States of America, the people are sovereign. Yes, I know there were lots of imperfections at that time. I do not in any way mean to discount the problems of slavery, the problems of inequality for women. Heck, even white men without property couldn't vote in those days. Some states had religious tests for government. Jews couldn't vote in states like North Carolina, Massachusetts. But it was the beginning. Even if it was just white male Christians with property, it was the beginning of the democracy we have today. George Washington is not to be blamed for that. What George Washington is to be commended for is recognizing the power of civilian control of government, the humility of a man so great a national hero, he could easily have run this country until the day he died. He did another amazing thing. After two terms as president of the United States, unanimously elected, the only president unanimously elected in American history, in 1796, after his second term, there were no term limits in those days, he again said, my time is done. I'm going back to be a farmer. And thus set up actually one of the most controversial elections of all time between Adams and Jefferson in 1796. But think for a moment. Washington died in 1799. If he had served his third term, and there's no question he would have been unanimously elected had he chosen to do so, his vice president, John Adams, would have become president because Washington died in 1799. Then he'd probably be reelected in 1800. We would set up a dynasty much as a number of countries do today, from leader to successor to successor to successor, and basically you die in office. If not a kingdom, at least the idea of ruling for life. Again, he set up this country just right. And a shout out to good old George Washington, whose name, of course, is the city that I report from, Washington, D.C. But actually, I happen to think, and historians can disagree with me, I happen to think that Washington was our second best president. Our best, in my view, was Abraham Lincoln. Now, you know, I know this sounds, everyone says Lincoln and Washington are the best presidents, Mark. Don't, you know, stop telling me something I already know. Tell me something new and interesting and different. Look, sometimes the conventional wisdom is right, okay? I spend every day talking about where the conventional wisdom is wrong. I can agree with the conventional wisdom from time to time. I'm sorry if I'm not the only one to say this, but Abraham Lincoln was a great man. He also had a tremendous kind of humility. Amazing humility. And indeed, I think it was humility that helped bring this country together after a brutal civil war. People forget, more people were killed in the American Civil War than any American war. And as a percentage of the population, it was astounding numbers that were dead. And with charity toward all, with malice toward none, those are Lincoln's words, not mine, he helped bind this country together, end slavery, begin us on a new path. And even in the worst possible times, Lincoln recognized that you have to follow the Constitution. Even when we have a rebellion on American soil, Lincoln recognized that the Constitution says that it requires habeas corpus, that wonderful Latin term that means if you put someone in jail, you have to say why, and you have to give them a trial, and you have to give them due process. And the Constitution of the United States says habeas corpus may not be suspended except in cases of rebellion or invasion. That's it. Rebellion or invasion. And Abraham Lincoln cited the Constitution when for a limited period of time he had to, because of rebellion, and I don't think anyone can argue the Civil War was not a rebellion, he had to suspend habeas corpus, be in military prisons for the rebels. But he didn't just do it. I'm president, this is wartime, I'm locking these people up. He didn't. He gave a message to Congress. He explained how it was an extraordinary act. He says it was justified in the Constitution, which it is by the express language of the Constitution. And within a year or so afterwards, he repealed it when he felt it was no longer necessary. In the greatest crisis in American history, our greatest president, Abraham Lincoln, recognized that we are still a nation of law. That you can't just round up people and put them in jail. You have to give a reason, even in cases of rebellion. Oh, that our president would learn the humility and the dedication to the rule of law of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. Oh, that our current president, that we could have a current president that could be worthy of a holiday that is not dedicated to him, but dedicated to our two greatest presidents. Oh, that we had a president that actually read history, that learned history, that understood the mistakes of history so they would not be repeated. Someone who read about Vietnam so he didn't repeat it in Iraq. Someone who understood the power of civil war and why no country would want to be involved in it. Oh, that we had a president that truly understood President's Day. Toll free number 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. It's the Week in Review today. All topics are valid. You can talk about the resolutions on Iraq, Condoleezza Rice in the Middle East, really anything you want to talk about, or just celebrate our two greatest presidents, Washington and Lincoln. 888-488-MARK or 877-4-HEAD-ON. We'll be right back after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's go. Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Hi, this is Sarah Jessica Parker. It's hard to believe that 1.5 million people in New York City are at risk of going hungry. More than half of them are children and the elderly. The Food Bank for New York City provides the food that soup kitchens, food pantries, and shelters use to feed those in need. Now more than ever, we need your help in the fight against hunger. For more information, visit the Food Bank at www.foodbanknyc.org.
California's adult education system is proudly celebrating 150 years of success. I'm Jack O'Connell, State Superintendent of Public Instruction. As a teacher of adult learners, I ask you to join me in celebrating this important milestone. Each year, adult education helps nearly 1.5 million Californians become better literate citizens, high school graduates, fluent in English, or ready for college. To learn more about adult education in your community, contact your local school district.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine giving you all the news the government does not want you to know. It is the weekly review today. That means all topics are valid. Feel free to call in and express your concerns on any issue. Ask me a question if you will. Topics that I'd like to cover, though they are certainly not exclusive, is, of course, the non-binding resolution that passed the House in Iraq. They got a majority of senators, which I think is really all that matters. All the Democrats, save Tim Johnson, who's ill, though I think he would have voted for it, were on board, including the independent socialist, Bernie Sanders. One independent Democrat was not there. That's Joe Lieberman, but he's not really a Democrat. And seven Republicans on board. But what this resolution really is the beginning of a war. War's too strong. A beginning of a great battle that's going to take place in the next 2-3 weeks. I'm going to give you a heads up on that battle, but basically it's going to be how to allow the troops to get some money, but limit their continuing role in Iraq. And there's a lot of detail there. I want to give it to you this hour. I also want to talk about voting rights, because as those longtime listeners know, I've been a big fan of paper ballots for a long time, or at least paper verified ballots. I think that's going to come. I think the Democratic Congress is going to do it. I think President Bush will have to sign it. One of the miracles of the Democratic Congress is finally we can protect our election system for a generation. We can talk about Condoleezza Rice in the Middle East as she tries to do the impossible. But I wish her well. I'm not a big fan of Condi, but I do wish her well. I think that she's up against a lot there. And one of the things I want to discuss is the attorney generals. Do you know about the U.S. attorneys, I should say, the prosecutors, state prosecutors, federal prosecutors across the country that have been fired by this administration in the really the biggest firing of Justice Department officials that I can think of since the Saturday Night Massacre at Watergate? I want to talk about that. And, of course, we can always talk about Iraq. After all, just a day after I had a debate last night with a Republican who said, hey, well, things look like they're going well in Iraq. I really want to believe we have another bomb that killed 60 and wounded 100. It's just not pretty over there. Toll free, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, or you can call the Head-On Radio Network, 877-4-HEAD-ON. Sarge, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. Sorry I missed it last week, but I've been kind of tied up down in Jackson County in New Orleans.
What's going on down there?
As you know, Head-On Radio Network, Nova M Radio Network, and UnreportedNews.net all sponsored a drive, the Mississippi Mission, where we took a bunch of appliances, and we still got more coming in from Texas. Cassie and Betsy have been working on that, and we're getting the railroad to ship that in. But Phoenix brought in 2 truckloads full, and I mean full, of goods for the people down there. It went to Jim Yancey's warehouse. The stuff has already started going out. Every bit of it has been committed to people who are in desperate need. Some of the things we saw, Mark, would break
your
heart.
This is just volunteers. These are people of goodwill that are putting their own time and effort and materials to helping out the people of the Gulf Coast, right?
And there's been some people really step up that I would like to mention. For instance, Associated Appliance Sales in Phoenix they donated over $20,000 worth of stuff. Some brand name stuff, your Maytag Neptune series washers and dryers and refrigerators. I mean, it was just overwhelming. Furniture, building material.
It just shows the power, really, of people working together, of goodwill, grassroots movements, the Head On Radio Network, getting together to help people in need. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing that you're doing down there, Sarge.
Well,
how do you determine who gets the different things? I mean, do you just go to people know people?
That's strictly up to Jim.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's Jim's
job. Turned it over to him. And, of course, you've talked to Jim now, and I heard your interview. Wonderful job, by the way. Thank you.
I'm sorry that you missed the day to call in.
Well, I was sick that day, but I did hear it.
And I just think it's funny, Sarge, you call in and talk about post-Katrina every day. I devote an entire show to it, and I missed you. But, hey, that's life. No problem.
Well, all the time, I'll be sick. But Ray did an excellent job, and I was really kind of glad that Ray was there because he did. He gave you another area that I think is important, too.
He really did a tremendous job, and he gave a New Orleans perspective, which is different from Jim Yancey's Mississippi perspective, and I was very, very glad that Ray called in and did a tremendous job.
We went down into New Orleans. One of the airlines donated the return trip flight to the people from Arizona, sent them home free of charge, and so we took them to New Orleans, and we got to see a lot of the area. And I'm going to tell you, Mark, I heard Sean Ryan say it, and I think he said it probably best of anybody I've heard so far. He said it looks like an ancient civilization that has been uncovered. It's just like an archaeology dig. It doesn't look like there's very little being done. And
it's amazing that a year and a half after Katrina, I mean, people were complaining when things weren't done a few weeks later, and they were right to complain, but a month, 2 months, 6 months, a year and a half.
There's crisis down there that's going to blow your mind, and you're really going to say, "Oh, come on, I can't believe this."
Give me some examples.
Because you know what, I don't believe it either. But
give me some examples, Sarge. Tell our listeners some of the things you've seen. What's the ongoing crisis?
You can see there are people down there who are still living with nothing. We bumped into some people who were living on a boat. They were sleeping on a wood floor boat on the deck of the boat. They didn't have any furniture. Their food supplies were virtually limited. Some of them had built houses that were incomplete. They didn't have any way to cook their food. Thanks to all of this, we are able to have one house that today is getting furniture, is getting a new kitchen, and they're going to be able to eat finally in their own home and cook tonight for the first time since Katrina.
That's amazing. Well, imagine what would happen if our president cared 1/100th for New Orleans.
You know, the president,
the way he cares for Iraq. If he spent 1/100th the money, I mean, we spent $300 billion in Iraq. If we had $3 billion in New Orleans, what could be done?
President is one aspect of the problem. Another problem, and I won't go into it deeply. You can go to unreportednews.net and read about it. I've got an action report that I want everybody to read because there's a lady there who has really been one of the unsung heroes. She was broke into her FEMA trailer again this week. I mean, she's been broke in so much that she just needs to put up a sign that says, "Welcome, come on in."
Yeah.
And she's been one of the Jim's number one workers. She's really done a hell of a lot for the people, and we're trying to get a drive together, and we're going to try and buy her a decent home in a decent area where she can quit worrying about her safety. She had everything, including her food stolen from her. So everybody go by and report.
Well, Sarge, I'll tell you something. You're doing a tremendous job. You, Jim Yancey, it's a shame that our government is AWOL on this. I guess
now,
I can't be surprised that George Bush is...
I've also got a petition that I'm getting started where I'm going to start demanding some answers from Haley Barbour, because some of the things I saw are directly responsible for our Haley Barbour's failures. And I'm going to demand answers. I'm going to demand a recall, whatever it takes. But this man has got to be held to his responsibility.
Yeah, the state government isn't responding. The federal government isn't responding. I'll tell you this, though. You'd be proud of Betty Thompson. You weren't on when I talked about this, but after the State of the Union speech, Betty Thompson corralled the president in private and said, "Why didn't you mention Hurricane Katrina?" And you know what his response was, Sarge? Did you hear this?
I did.
His response was, "Well, there are lots of things that are important that I get a chance to talk to, like the national parks." as if the suffering of a million people in the Gulf Coast more than 1,000 dead. People lost their homes and belongings was equivalent to whether, you know, Old Faithful has enough, people there visiting. I like the national parks, too.
One thing,
but
I
they
want
aren't in crisis.
One thing,
and Benny Thompson corralled him, and you'd also be proud of Barack Obama, who's been speaking out on Katrina. I don't know why his staffers aren't to you, but he's at least speaking out loud. So
one thing I want to say before I do, y'all go out there and help me with this woman, because say if we lose her, there's going to be people die.
People can go to your website; they can help out. That's what really community support is all about. That's the way it should be, Sarge, and the way it will be again in the future. Thanks very much for calling in. I do appreciate it. Folks, if you want to join in the discussion, 877-4-HEAD-ON, 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11. Right here on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Well, Washington is somewhat empty as members of Congress have gone home to celebrate Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday, the holiday that should never be called President's Day. This ain't about you, Millard Fillmore. I'm sorry. You just didn't make the cut. But it's important to recognize what happened this last week, because it is the opening salvo in a much larger battle. The so-called non-binding resolutions were derided by Republicans, who said, you know, this is a useless waste of time, and it's also a comfort to our enemies. I'm not sure how these resolutions could be completely useless and at the same time extremely damaging, but they had trouble with their talking point. It was also attacked by Democrats, who said, you know, what are we doing here? Where are we going? Why aren't we stopping this war? And the inside scoop on this is you have to understand the rules by which Washington plays. You have to understand how this thing works. And heck, I've been there. Let me tell you. The Democrats can't vote to stop the war. At least not vote, hello, we hereby vote to stop the war. It doesn't work like that. And it is a very simple constitutional reason why. If the Democrats, if the bipartisan majority vote to stop the war in the House and the Senate, even if they could get past the filibuster, and remember, the Republicans filibustered a vote on a non-binding resolution to disapprove of Bush's surge, much less a vote to stop the war. And they couldn't get 60 votes to even stop the surge, much less stop the war. But let's say a miracle happened, a majority voted to stop the war, what would happen? George Bush would veto that bill. And the miracle to get the majority is one thing, two-thirds is impossible, and the resolution would go down in flames. No, that is not the way to stop the war. It won't succeed. And I know there are idealists out there that say, yeah, this is what we have to do. Folks, if there's one thing I hope I've taught you in my 3.5 years on the air, it's that you got to know not just what to fight, but how to fight. I mean, it's very, very important to have your passions. It's very important to call your member of Congress. It's very important to have your beliefs. I'm not knocking that at all. I, God knows I have my strong beliefs, and I know they all do too, and that's a good thing. That's half the battle. That's important. You have to care, and you have to fight. And in essence, as the populist, that's really all you got to do, because you just call and fight. But what I don't want you to do is complain about what the Democrats are doing in Congress without understanding the second part of the equation. The second part of the equation is how to fight. How to fight the fight. How to war against the war. So we know we need to. How do you do it? Well, the way to do it is the way that the battle is going to shape up in about 3 weeks. Because while the Democrats cannot vote to stop the war, they just don't have the votes. They don't have two-thirds in both House and Senate. They just don't got it. They do have a majority. And George Bush needs further support for his surge, for the war to continue. You see, the money is going to run out, and Congress has to authorize it. And they only need a majority. But Bush needs a majority in the House and the Senate to get the funding he needs to continue the war. And it's very easy to stop things in Washington. It really is. And people wonder why stuff isn't done. There are reasons. In our Constitution, and if you want to call in and talk about why it is that way, I frankly don't have a problem with making it somewhat tough to do things in Washington. I think you should be pretty sure of what you want to do before you do things. It's, however, a lot harder. It's easier to stop something. It's harder to start something. And because the president needs the Democrats' support to continue this war, the ball will be in their court. He needs the continued funding. And the amazing thing is, this is the part of our Constitution that, as we talk about George Washington, dates back to about 500 years prior to George Washington. Goes back to 1215 and the Magna Carta in England. At that time, King John needed money for his wars in France. The nobles didn't want to give him money for his wars, but he needed their help. And so, they made him sign a compact. The first time the divine king had to agree to a limitation in his powers to say, you want our money for wars? You got to do this, that, and the other. You got to give us these rights. You got to give us these freedoms, freedoms that would grow into the great democracy that Great Britain and the United States is today. And those were put in our Constitution. The president cannot do a thing without authorization from Congress. He can do lots of things with the money he has. But the power of the purse, the power of Congress over the money, and in fact, all bills relating to money have to begin in the House of Representatives, the people's house, the house that's most most democratic, if you will, where majority rule most counts. He needs Nancy Pelosi in order to get funding for his war, or his money runs out and his bill comes due. Now, the Republicans know this, the Democrats know this. So the Republicans are ramping up the rhetoric, and they say, as Mike Lane said to me last night, and we're going to be replaying that debate tomorrow right here on the Horn. You don't want to miss it, frankly. I think it's one of the best shows I've ever done. Do not miss tomorrow's show at 2 o'clock as I debate our Iraq policy and a whole bunch of other things with Mike Lane, Republican strategist. Mike Lane said, aha, see, the Democrats want to strand our troops, he said, using standard Republican spin. They'll have festering wounds, and we won't be able to have the Band-Aids to cover their sores. Those are his exact words. You know, maybe not with quite my dramatic flourish, but listen in tomorrow. You'll hear what he had to say. He conjures up the image that Republicans are conjuring up across the nation of wounded soldiers not able to get the health they need, dying, bleeding on the battlefield because the cold-hearted Democratic Congress doesn't want to help our soldiers in need, doesn't care about fighting terror. You'll hear, he'll use all the stock phrases. That's why, crazy as it may sound, I like to have Republicans on my show. Because sometimes when we talk amongst ourselves, we pretend that all of America, it believes like we do, logically, compassionately, fiscally sound. And it's important to hear their spin, if only to combat it. We need to talk across the aisle to each other. And again, I think it's a terrific show. You really should not miss it tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern time, right here on the Horn. But see, Mike Lane, as I say, it is not all or nothing. It is not either fund the war, do whatever President Bush wants, go along to get along, shut up Nancy Pelosi, go ahead, round up the Americans, throw them in Guantanamo Bay, or leave our soldiers stranded and bleeding in the field as we rush to retreat and make a run for the borders while they shoot us in the back. To pretend those are the only two options is to be disingenuous. It's to be tricky. It's to try to persuade the American people of something that's simply not true. Of course, those aren't the only two options. Even John Murtha, probably the most strong advocate in the House for the Democrats and getting our troops out as soon as possible, even he doesn't say, turn off the spigot, make them turn and run for the border. What's going to happen, and it's going to be beautiful when it does, and it's not, and I don't mean to say that the battle's over, because it hasn't happened yet, and God knows things mess up in Washington, but what should happen is the Democrats will allow the funds, but with strict limitations. They did this in Vietnam. They did this for the Nicaraguan Contras. They say, you get the money, but no money for more troops. Or you have to bring the troops home and give them a rest so they don't do four tours of duty, one right after the other. Or bring our National Guard home because Sarge needs them in the Gulf Coast more than they need them. The Maliki needs them to take out Sunnis that are challenging Shiites and his government. You do the war and you do it with conditions. And I would go one step further and say, President Bush, if you put in a signing statement that you're not going to obey these conditions, this resolution is hereby void and no money is appropriated. You must obey these conditions, and your signature constitutes an obeying of these conditions. And if you say you won't obey these conditions, not only is this resolution invalid, but, and this can't be in the resolutions, they should say it publicly, we will proceed with impeachment. If you refuse to obey the law of the United States, which you have sworn under the Constitution to uphold and defend, then you shouldn't be our president. So here's the choice, Mr. President. Obey the law, obey the Constitution, follow our conditions, which Congress has the absolute right under the Constitution to set. Congress has the right to declare war. Congress has the right to regulate the Army and the Navy. Follow the law, Mr. Bush, or no money for you. Same thing the nobles said to King John back in 1215. It's an ancient principle, but a clear one. One that you can't go to war and you can't get the money you need unless you go to Congress first. So don't let anyone tell you, oh, well, it's either cut and run or give Bush everything he needs. Those ain't the only two options, folks. And a well-crafted resolution in Congress coming up in about 2-3 weeks. Watch it carefully, because I want you folks to support it, even though it allows continued funding. The American people, the majority of American people, do not support cutting off funding completely. But great majorities, upwards of 70%, say use the funding to start bringing the troops home. Use the funding to limit, to stop the Bush escalation. Use the funding to help withdraw troops to the borders. Use the funding to remove our troops from the middle of Civil War fighting. The Republicans would love to blame the Democrats for our defeat in Iraq. But the answer is we've already been defeated in Iraq. We've already lost. The war's over. We lost. And now, the only question left is, as John Kerry once said, who will be the last man to die for a mistake? Toll free, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Call the Head On Network, always 877-FORD-HEAD-ON. It's the weekly review. All topics are valid. One thing I want to address when we get back is the purge of prosecutors across the nation. Do you know about this? Do you know what this is about? I'll give you the inside scoop right after the break.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of 6 or 7 different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? proud, relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop and the Weekly Review. Here's your last chance to call in, folks. The toll-free number, 877-4HEAD-ON, 888-488-MARK. I know a number of you would prefer to write in on the Internet. That's easy to do. Go to the website, radioinsidescoop.com. Let me know what you're thinking, and I'll post a lot of your comments. You can get a discussion with other listeners, and frankly, I read a lot of your comments on the air. So if you are new to the Inside Scoop, if you're listening on iTunes, welcome. Let us know that you're here. Let us know that you're listening. Send me an email, Mark, M-A-R-K, at radioinsidescoop.com, or better yet, just post on the blog. Let us know what you think of the shows. If you disagree, that's okay, too. In fact, sometimes it's more interesting to have people who disagree than people who agree. But I want to encourage you to be part of the Inside Scoop family. And really throughout the Head On Radio Network, we've got a great bunch of hosts all day long. America's liberal voice. You really need to check out. Because we've got a ranging styles. We have different ways. I, as you know, try to give lots of facts and details. I'm not really about humor. Other people are funnier than I am. I just try to give you the facts you need so that when you got someone at the office or around the water cooler saying silly things like Democrats want to cut and run, you can respond. Here's a story that didn't get much attention, and I know why it didn't get much attention. It's the story of the prosecutors across the nation being fired. And one reason it didn't get enough attention is, well, I turned on CNN just Saturday, just watching the news. I wanted to see if there's anything that I missed. And, well, apparently Britney Spears got a haircut and some tattoos. I'm like, all right, okay, that's a 30-second story. Nope. I have a wonderful creation called TiVo. Many of you have it. And because they were on Britney Spears, I decided to pause the live TV, which you can do, and to go away for a few hours, get some of my work done, respond to some of your emails, come back 3 hours later, and I decide to fast-forward past the Britney Spears parts to get the hard news. And I watched those 3 hours in about 12 minutes. More than 2 hours was spent on Britney Spears. They did 20 minutes on Britney, then 30 seconds on the Iraqi resolution. Then 20 more minutes on Britney, then a bomb in Iraq, another minute. Then 20 more minutes on Britney, then the presidential election. Who cares about her haircut? I must be missing something here. But because Britney Spears got a haircut, obviously it wasn't important for CNN to let you know about one of the great firings across the nation that's taking place under the radar of U.S. federal prosecutors. Which reminded me, I have to say, of the Saturday Night Massacre. Now, I am a student of history. I give a lot of history on the Inside Scoop, not just because it's Washington's and Lincoln's birthday, but because I think the only way to understand politics, the only way to understand Washington, D.C., and what goes on here is to understand our history. I mean, it's of course, there's George Santayana's famous saying, those who haven't learned from history are doomed to repeat it. It sounds cliche. It is cliche, but it is true, folks. And, of course, the history is that back in Watergate, Richard Nixon didn't want people investigating Watergate. And the people who investigate crimes at the federal level, they're the Justice Department under the United States Attorney General, who is appointed by the President of the United States. So there's a problem here. The President appoints the people that investigate him. And if the U.S. Attorney General is an honest person, the investigations continue. I'm sure Bill Clinton didn't like a lot of Janet Reno's investigations into Whitewater, but she's an honest woman. She continued it. He didn't intervene. Turns out they didn't find anything. Kenneth Starr tried and spent tens of millions of dollars, and all he could find was improper activity with an intern. That he found. Didn't find any corruption. But you have this problem where you have a president appoints an attorney general who is in charge of law enforcement. He's the highest law enforcement officer in the United States. Well, the Constitution, good old Constitution, which it's not perfect, but heck, it's the best thing we got going. The Constitution protects us by saying that even though the president appoints federal prosecutors, and by the way, prosecutors in local jurisdictions, state jurisdictions, some are elected, some are chosen by the state attorney general, some are chosen by state.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush honored the 275th birthday of the nation's first president today, likening George Washington's long struggle that gave birth to a nation to the war on terrorism. The Roman Catholic Diocese of San Diego said in a letter to parishioners this weekend that it is considering declaring bankruptcy to avoid going to trial on more than 140 lawsuits alleging sexual abuse by priests. Two airport buses collided head-on on the road surrounding the Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport last night. The driver of one bus and a passenger in the other died. Several other passengers were injured, two critically. Avalanches over the weekend in Montana, Utah, and Idaho have killed six people. Dozens more were rescued by friends and emergency personnel. On Mount Hood, Oregon, rescuers are trying to reach three climbers who fell from a snowy ledge. Search crews are being hampered by high winds and frigid temperatures. Insurgents launched a coordinated attack on a U.S. combat post today, sending in a suicide bomber and clashing with American troops. Two U.S. soldiers were killed, 17 wounded. The attack came on a day when a string of car bombings and other attacks claimed nearly 41 civilian lives in Baghdad and elsewhere. Meanwhile, on Saturday, an Iraqi government spokesman announced violence in Baghdad had declined 80%. On a train traveling from New Delhi to Pakistan, 67 train passengers were killed in a fire sparked by two kerosene bomb blasts. The explosions came on the eve of a visit by Pakistan's foreign minister, who called the attacks a, quote, horrendous act of terrorism, end quote. Most of the victims were Pakistani nationals taking the cross-border train home. Meetings between Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Israeli and Palestinian leaders have ended in disappointment. It's the first time in 4 years Palestinian leaders have met with a top U.S. official. U.S. military experts say Iran is flexing its muscle. 3 days of war games began in 16 provinces there today. They're firing missiles from land and water. Russia announced today it would again delay work on Iran's nuclear reactor, this time because it says Tehran is behind with payments. New Jersey's law permitting same-sex civil unions went into effect at midnight today. Dozens of city halls throughout the state stayed open late to allow couples to apply for licenses. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business next.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to a million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Now you've got more reasons to enjoy that cup of hot cocoa. Scientists are saying it improves both heart and brain function. Campbell's Soup beat Wall Street expectations by posting a 12% increase in quarterly profits. The company credits sales growth in its low-sodium soups. The Japanese whaling ship stranded in Antarctic waters since last week continues to refuse help from the U.S. Coast Guard and Greenpeace, even though there are fears the vessel will begin leaking oil into the pristine waters. New Zealand's Prime Minister is registering concern for an environmental disaster. Japanese authorities are ignoring them. Harley-Davidson says it's reached a tentative contract agreement with striking workers. The strike has closed down the motorcycle company's largest manufacturing plant for 2 weeks. Germany is considering banning smoking cigarettes while driving. German authorities say that they are concerned about smokers being distracted while driving, as well as the danger of secondhand smoke for passengers. Budget airline JetBlue continued to cancel flights today, still technically bedeviled by the snowstorm disruptions of last week. Regular flight schedules are expected to be restored by tomorrow. Puma has announced a 20% plunge in quarterly profits. However, sales increased as a result of the 2006 World Cup. Puma sponsored the champion Italian team. Markets are closed today as traders celebrate the President's Day holiday. I'm Michael Coleman.
Welcome to dialogue. To conversation. To a place